Well, go ahead and turn over in your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 23 through 31 today. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. So we're done for now with, we've been going through some of those conditional promises talked about in the Word of God, those if-then promises. So perhaps we'll come back to those at a later time, later on, because there's a lot more that we could talk about. But for a couple of weeks, I want to talk about the importance of prayer. And the reason I'm doing that, I will get into it in just a minute. So we're going to talk about prayer today. Next week, actually, my father-in-law, John Zelmer, will be preaching for you. Leslie and I have an opportunity to go with a certain young lady to meet with some of her associates. And so we're going to go with her and travel with her. So John will be here preaching for me. And then the next week after that, we'll talk about prayer again. In anticipation for what's coming this fall, which I'm really excited about. So back in 2001, which was early on in my tenure as your pastor, I attended a conference at First Baptist Church of Woodstock. There's the church. As you can see, it's a huge church. They actually have their own road going up into the complex. I mean, it's just so massive. And so I was just very young in ministry. I'd been a youth pastor, but you know, the first time being a senior pastor, and I really felt strongly and convicted that I should go to this conference. And so the church paid my way, which I'm so thankful for, and I went down there, and it was led by a guy by the name of Bruce Schmidt. He was an IMB missionary. He's passed away since this, but he's with the Lord now. But it was led by Bruce Schmidt. He had been hired temporarily as the pastor of prayer for First Baptist Church of Woodstock. Man, what a great job that would be, the pastor of prayer. And he was on stateside assignment, going to be in the States for a while, so they snatched him up and took care of his family for a time, and he was on staff there at First Baptist Church of Woodstock. Probably the best conference I've ever been to. And I've been to lots of them, but it's probably the best one that I've been to. And so there was teaching on prayer during the day. It was on a Wednesday, just a one-day thing. So it was during the day on Wednesday. It was all about prayer. And then we were invited to take part in their Wednesday night corporate prayer gathering. When I arrived at the church that evening, it's probably 6:30, 7 o'clock, I can't remember. Let me just say, it was not what I expected in a good way, okay? When I arrived at the church that evening, I literally... Guys, get this. I literally could not find a parking spot. This was a large church, take in mind, this is a large church with thousands of people. They have a massive parking lot, and on a Wednesday night, I could not find a parking space. This is the kind of thing you see at a sporting event, not a Wednesday night prayer meeting at a Baptist church. But I literally could not find a parking spot. And I walked in to the building that evening thinking that I would see, like normal, people congregating around like most people do. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I didn't see any of that. Instead, no one was talking. Everyone was seated in the auditorium, quietly just listening to some worship music that was playing while waiting for the prayer service to begin. And so there were literally thousands of people earnestly waiting to pray. And again, no one was talking. And you could truly feel the presence of the Lord. And the leader that night, Bruce Schmidt, led us to pray for several things: missions, revival, the lost, broken relationships, those who were hurting, those who needed deliverance, a lot of different things. And sometimes we prayed together as a group, and sometimes we split into little groups around the building. We prayed, and some people were invited at times to come to the altar and pray. There was lots of different aspects. There was worship thrown in. There was scripture reading. It was just really an amazing thing. So we rejoiced, we wept, and it truly was a remarkable and life-changing event for me. And so I came home from that conference, man, I'm feeling pumped up, you know, and eager to get this type of thing started here at our church. But for whatever reason, and I don't know the reason now, back then, and it doesn't really matter, things never really took off. I tried some of the things that I learned about, but for whatever reason, maybe we weren't ready, maybe I wasn't ready, maybe I wasn't leading very well. I mean, I was awfully young. So I put it on hold. And we continued to have Wednesday prayer meetings where a few people came, but honestly, it wasn't what I had envisioned coming home from Georgia. So lately, the Lord has spoken to me once again. He began speaking to me right after we paused for the summer. You know, we had our Wednesday night dinner and discipleship, and so that went pretty well. But right after that ended for the summer, the Lord began to lay upon my heart that maybe this is something that I needed to try again. And it was confirmed to me when Leslie and I attended the SBC convention back in June over some things that were discussed by some representatives from the North American Mission Board. We went to a little side conference, and it was confirmed to me that something that I really needed to pursue once again. And so, with that being said, on September 6th, we're going to restart our House of Prayer meetings as part of our Wednesday night program here at Bogey Hills. We're still going to have Kids on Mission. We're still going to have Wednesday night nursery. We're going to have fellowship meal once a month. We did it weekly last season, but we're going to do it once a month, at least for now. But I want to strongly encourage all of you to come to this prayer gathering. Because, guys, I really feel like, I really believe that we're going to see God work in us and through us in a mighty way through His Holy Spirit as we gather together to pray corporately. And wouldn't it be great to see our parking lot so full that it's hard to find a spot? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing on a Wednesday night at Bogey Hills Baptist Church? And I pray that you'll be a part of this dynamic time of prayer. And that night in Georgia is something, honestly, that I think about a lot. It's one of those things that you probably have these things in your mind, some really neat things that happened to you, maybe an experience that you had with the Lord, and it's something that you dwell upon and think about and remember and go through your mind. It's something that it goes through my mind, honestly, a lot, and I'm hungry for it. I've longed for all of you to experience what I experienced, not an emotional experience, not something to get us amped up emotionally, but a powerful and dynamic corporate prayer gathering where the Holy Spirit moves among His people. The kind of corporate prayer meeting that we see here in Acts chapter 4. So let me give you a little bit of background, then we're going to read our scripture, okay? This is just a little bit of background here behind Acts chapter 4. This is right after, or soon after, Peter and John heal the man at the temple. Remember the story? They go there, and he's lame, and Peter and John are going to worship at the temple, and so, you know, he's asking for money. They don't have any, and so the man's healed. They say, "We don't have silver or gold, but what we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk." And so obviously the man began jumping around and praising God. He couldn't walk, and now he can, so that's a big deal. And I think if that happened to you and I, we'd be jumping around praising the Lord. We'd be hooping and hollering and all that stuff. And obviously this attracted a large crowd. So Peter and John, what do? We're going to take this opportunity to preach about Jesus. And that's what they did. And as they were preaching, they were arrested because that wasn't a good thing among the Jewish people, Jewish leaders. They didn't like that. So they were arrested. They were put in jail and later brought before the Jewish council. And they asked Peter and John, "Who gave you the authority and the ability to heal this man?" And of course they said, it was Jesus. Of course they said it was Jesus whom you guys, he told them, you're the guys that you crucified. That's who gave me the power and the ability to do what I have done. And so they said, "Hey, don't preach anymore about Jesus. Don't teach anymore about Jesus." And Peter and John said, "Listen, we're going to obey God rather than you because He's our big boss and you aren't, right?" And again, they told them not to preach about Jesus and they threatened them with punishment. And after the Jewish council released them, they did something. This brings us to our passage this morning. So let's take a look. Start reading in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. And we'll read all the way down to verse 31. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported, meaning the church, and reported everything the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they all raised their voices to God and said, "Master, you are the one who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers assembled together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats, and grant your slaves, your servants, may speak your message with complete boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And notice in verse 31, when they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as I read this scripture, Acts chapter 4, and I've read this before. I preached through the book of Acts about a year and a half ago. It took me a year. I don't know if you guys remember that, but you know, we touched on this obviously in all the other verses. But as I read this passage, it's one that I really have paid very close attention to in my ministry. Because first of all, I can't really explain it. You read something like Acts 4:31, and you say, how do you explain something like that? Literally, the place where they were praying was shaken, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. I'm not saying they spoke in tongues, and we're not talking about that, but they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke God's message with boldness. So let's kind of take a look a little bit, and then I've got a little bit more of talking about the benefits of corporate prayer in relation to the scripture, but we want to answer a question. How did Peter and John respond when they were threatened by the Jewish council? Well, the first thing they did is they met with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, right? They just went back to the church because that was their family, their guys, their girls. So they met with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Peter and John had been thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. They'd been paraded in front of the Jewish leadership. They were made to give an account of what they were doing. They'd been threatened. So I guess you could say they're having a pretty rough time of it. And in our lives, we all go through rough times, whether it's the loss of a loved one, or we failed a test, or we're having money issues. We get bad news about our health. We're undergoing persecution. And we go through rough times, and our faith is tested like Peter and John's was. And these things can cause fear, they can cause anxiety, they might even cause anger. And at times like these, guys, as I read this story here, and not just here, but all throughout the New Testament, when we go through times like this, listen, we need other believers in Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters, amen? We need each other to lift us up. We need encouragement. We need prayer. We need love. And guess what our church family does? When we gather together, we lift each other up and we point one another to Jesus, because that's where it all matters, right? And they help us understand that we're not alone in this journey. And coming together with brothers and sisters in Christ will help us endure. And I think we're all familiar with Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 that talks about not forsaking the gathering together, or not forsaking the gathering of the saints. Listen to this verse from the New Living Translation. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So the writer of Hebrews says, listen, don't give up motivating one another unto good deeds and love and things like that. Don't neglect meeting together as some people do. But encourage one another, because we know that the day of the Lord is drawing near. So Peter and John, first thing they did is like, listen, we're going to go be with our family, our brothers and sisters. But then they didn't just meet. What's the next thing they did? They prayed for boldness. And there are lots of prayers in the Bible. I mean, you can read lots of prayers in the Bible. Jesus gave us a model prayer in Matthew. But I think this prayer goes down as one of the all-time greats, in my opinion. Peter and John were under immense pressure. They were knee-deep in intense persecution. They were going through a type of persecution that they had never seen before. And so what did they do? They prayed corporately, which means they prayed together. As the body of Christ, they prayed together. They prayed for boldness as a group. They prayed that God would give them wisdom as a group. And we think about prayer, and prayer is obviously something that we talk a lot about. We sing about it. We talk about it. But listen, prayer is where our journey begins. Amen. That is where our journey begins. This is where it always begins. Because we have to be a people of prayer. We have to take it seriously. And I think sometimes I'm afraid we don't approach prayer with urgency. We want to. We talk about it, but if we're to be very honest, just internally looking at us, we don't approach it with urgency. So why is corporate prayer within the body of Christ something that we should take time for, and why should we make it a priority? Why should you, as just average church member, start coming to our house of prayer gathering on Wednesday nights? Well, let's take a look at some of the benefits of corporate prayer as related to the story here. So that's the next thing we're going to talk about, the benefits of corporate prayer. One of the first things that we see here is that corporate prayer invites the power of the Holy Spirit. Corporate prayer invites the power of the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts chapter 4, we see that the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just explain something, okay? There's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at the moment of conversion. You could also say that's the moment that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. The moment that we pray to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior and commit our life to Him, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit indwells us. And this baptism is permanent. It's not something that has to be repeated over and over and over. And it doesn't happen in there, in the baptismal waters. It happens when we pray and ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Baptism is a picture of what has already happened in our lives. And I think we all understand that. I'm preaching to the choir here. But it happens when we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So that's permanent. It's not something that has to be done over and over and over again. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is different. And I like how John MacArthur puts it. He puts it this way: being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting His mind through the Word dominate everything that is thought and done. Let me read that again. He said, being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting His mind through the Word dominate everything that is thought and done. So if that's true, if that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is, and I trust John MacArthur, there are times in our lives when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do these things. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to dominate our thoughts. Let our minds through the Word being dominated by the Spirit of God. There are times when we don't do that. And when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do these things, we're not going to be very powerful and effective in our walk with Christ. Peter and John and the other believers who were there needed to be reminded of the Holy Spirit's work. So as they prayed, what did they do? They focused on the Lord. They were confronted with His image, and God's power came to life in them once again. It's like it just welled up again in them. Maybe they were depleted, and once again, as they asked God, fill us up, remind us, show us who You are. That's exactly what happened. God's Spirit came to life in them once again. When I left that prayer meeting that night in Georgia, let me just say there was an awareness of God as those brothers and sisters prayed together. There was a sense of connection with God, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit that night. I was filled with the Holy Spirit that night. And you've had times like that in your life. Perhaps some of them are coming to your mind right now. And I want you to remember that and remember how you felt and what it was like. Because God wants to do that in us and through us continually. So corporate prayer invites the power of the Holy Spirit. What else did corporate prayer do? The next thing, corporate prayer increases our faith as we see God doing amazing things through us. Corporate prayer increases our faith as we see God doing amazing things through us. As Peter and John and the other believers prayed for boldness, the Bible says that God filled them with the Spirit, gave them the strength, and they continued to speak the Word of God boldly. They also saw the miracle, and I don't really understand what this means, but they saw the miracle of the building where they were praying, wherever they were praying, literally shook. Now, I'm not going to say that that's what's going to happen here, but what if God wanted to do a miracle in our midst? Would we be ready for that? Do we expect Him to do it? And I'm not talking about word of mouth, name it, claim it, stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. But are we ready for God to do something amazing in our lives, a miracle in our midst? Are we ready for that? Corporate prayer gives God an avenue to increase our faith to do amazing things through us. Why do I say that? Here's the reason. Let me just give you a for instance here. Now, this is very important. I want you to listen. And I'm going to use myself as an example here. Maybe I'm going through some sort of a trial in my life. Could be a private thing, could be something that my family knows about, but I'm going through some kind of a trial, and I pray about it, I'm earnest in my prayer, but maybe my faith is still a little bit weak. I can't quite get over the hump. And I'm having some doubts that God's going to come through. That's where the body of Christ comes in. When I tell others, and they begin to pray corporately, and I see their faith being strong, what happens is my faith begins to grow. And I'm strengthened, and I'm edified by the body of Christ. See how that works? And maybe God leads one of you, leads your heart to help me personally. Maybe God's going to answer my prayer through one of you. This all happens because we pray together. Now, individual prayer is important. Going to our prayer closet, that's important. Jesus talked about that. But there's something to be said of corporate prayer. When you read of instances of corporate prayer, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, amazing things began to happen. In fact, in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, you really begin, one of the things that you see in conjunction with the church praying together corporately is lots of people coming to know Christ. They also, you also see the signs and wonders in the prayer, and then people being generous. When you see those three components, you see in the New Testament thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming to know Christ. And prayer is one of those things. Because the church prayed together. So it helps our spirit, it helps increase our faith. And then the last thing that I'm going to mention about corporate prayer is that it moves us to seek out God's purposes. Corporate prayer moves us to seek out God's purposes. I want you to notice something about the prayer here that Peter and John and the church prayed. Did they pray for protection? They did not. The church did not pray for protection. They prayed for power, right? Look at it again. They didn't say, "Oh Lord, please protect us." They said, "Lord, give us power. Give us power." They didn't ask fire from heaven to destroy the religious leaders. They prayed for power. Their great desire was for God's will to be done. And if that meant for them to suffer, then so be it. Bring it on. But after they prayed, God's answer was to shake the place where they were praying, meeting, and to fill them once again with His Spirit. And that's what He did. Most of the time when we pray, we try to come up with what we think is going to be the best solution first, right? Admit it, we do it. God, I think if you do it this way and that way, and we got our list, if you do this, this, and this, then it's all going to work out. I mean, just be honest, we do that, right? We try to come up with what we think is going to be the best solution. And we seldom give any thought, God, what do you want to do in this situation? What do you want to do? But often when the people of God pray together, and they saw it here, I saw it that night in Georgia, and I've seen it here at Bogey Hills before. When we pray together corporately, we begin to let go of what our desires are, and we open ourselves up to what God wants. It just happens. And I can't explain it all, but it does. And get this, and I think our convention can learn a lot from this. If we're disgruntled as church people, as a convention, over decisions that leadership has made, you know what? Corporate prayer connects us around the common purpose. God, what do you want to do in this situation? Not about what I want, not about what they want. What do you want to do here? And corporate prayer helps us to be able to do that. To let go of what our desires are and focus on what God wants. And guess what? As we begin to pray and seek Him, you know what happens? Solidarity. Unity. Things that we want and God desires. We stop pulling in our own directions and our prayers become less about what we want and more focused on what God wants. All because we pray together corporately. So corporate prayer moves us to seek out God's purposes. There was a great evangelist, you probably heard of him, educator named Dr. R.A. Torrey. And he once said this, I've often thought about this quote, and I bring it up again right now. He said, pray for great things, expect great things, work for great things, but above all, pray. Man, that's so true. Pray, yeah. Expect, work, but just pray. And it's like, well, yeah, there's more than I can do to pray. Yeah, maybe so, but prayer's where it starts. Prayer's where it starts. The early church prayed, and God answered their, God answered in a power that was so mighty, it just blew them away. And if He did it then, guess what? God doesn't change. He's going to do it now. So what are we waiting for, right? What are we waiting for? Listen, I don't know how our Wednesday night prayer meeting is going to turn out. And I'm not saying we have to do it like First Baptist Church of Woodstock. We're not going to carbon copy. That's so long ago now, I don't remember everything. But I remember the results. And I know that God wants us to do it. And guys, listen, I'm just so hopeful. I have hope in my heart that we're going to see some really amazing things happen as a result of gathering together. I know there might be some questions still. What's this all about? I don't know. I get that. Listen, you guys weren't there. I was. If I could have had you all there, I would. If I could play a video of that night, believe me, I've looked it up to see if there was one, and there isn't. If I could show some kind of video to show what I saw, I would do that. I don't have that luxury. And I'm not saying, well, just trust me, it'll all be okay. I'm just saying, come and let's gather together and pray together and see what God does. And I believe we're going to see some amazing things happen. I think we're going to see people come to know Christ. We're going to see relationships being restored. We might even see people healed. Imagine that. God can still heal people. Amen. Do we believe that? He can still heal people. So let's pray together and let's see what happens. I would ask you to come and be a part of that. We'll be talking more about it in the next couple of weeks, but begin that process now, making those plans to be here. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, that's all well and good, and I understand that there's power in prayer and all that stuff, but I don't even know if I know Jesus personally. Maybe today you need to give your heart to Jesus for the very first time. We always take time to do this every week because you never know when somebody might be here or watching online that needs to put their faith and trust in Christ. And maybe you need to make that decision for the very first time today. If you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, here's what you need to do. Admit to God you're a sinner. You're not telling him anything that he already knows it. That's what I'm trying to say. He already knows you're a sinner. So just be honest, right? Admit to God you're a sinner. It's for your benefit. It's like admitting you're an alcoholic or something like that. The first, you know, I don't know a whole lot about these 12-step programs, but they say the first way to recovery is to admit that you got a problem. Well, we have a sin problem. Admit it to God. And then ask forgiveness and turn away. That means that we're going in one direction and we repent and go the other way. That's what repentance means. And then believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, that he actually did do these things because he loves us. And then commit your life to him. Tell him that he's going to be not only, you want him not only to be your Savior, but your Lord. That means he's your boss. You're going to follow him. You're going to do and say and go and all the things that he says to do in your life. I promise you it'll be the best decision you ever make. Doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want in life. Doesn't mean your life is your family is going to be like the Cleavers on Leave It to Beaver. It doesn't mean anything like that. But it does mean that God will bless you as you do it his way, his design. There'll be blessings that come with that. Not financial, not even health is not what I'm talking about. But there will be blessings when we do it God's way. So I would encourage you to put your faith and trust in Christ today. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe it's to join this church, or maybe it's to surrender to ministry or missions. Maybe it's to be baptized. You know, we had 3 baptisms in a row here recently. Praise the Lord for that. We want to see more. Maybe that's you, you know? Maybe God wants to do, maybe you need to make that next step. Pastor, I'm a believer in Christ, but I've never been scripturally baptized. Whatever decision the Lord is leading you to make today, let us know. There's a connect card in front of you. You can fill that out. Drop it in the offering box as you leave. You can go online and click the connect link on our website and do the same thing. That information comes directly to me. I will contact you and help you in the decision that you need to make. But the point is let God do business in your heart this morning. Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And as he does, let the Lord do business in your heart. Let's pray. And then we'll let God work. Father, we just thank you today for your love in our lives, for the way that you bless us, the way that you show us your love. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the example of the early church as they prayed. Father, help us to grasp that, to learn it, to internalize it, whatever we need to do so that we can be those same types of people of prayer. And Father, we just ask you right now to work in our hearts. Whatever you want to do, Father, we are ready to listen to you, and we ask you, Father, to have your way in us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.